Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now for a Tuesday. I know it feels like a Monday, week starting, and you were all throwing another shrimp on the barbie yesterday. Good for you. We are going to learn this afternoon at 5:30 what the governor has in store for all of us. Will he relent? Will he open up the state? Will he open the casinos? Will he open up the massage facilities? Will he open up skating rinks? Will he open up a training camp for the Golden Knights? What about the Raiders and their training camp? What about all these different events that are out there? The governor's going to speak at 5:30 this afternoon. So Be listening to what the governor has to say, because to me the devil's in the details. The word is that June 4th they're going to open everything up. We'll find out if indeed that's true. Let's check in with our buddy Victor Jakes, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He joins us. And, Victor, how was your holiday?
That was wonderful. Thank you. Hope you had a good weekend as well.
Did you get out at all?
Yeah, we were fortunate to have some friends over, and we had a good time.
So, what do you expect from the governor at 5:30 this afternoon?
Well, there's going to be some reopening. I think that is obvious. I assume we'll get some sort of date for the start of phase two. I think that the interesting thing to see is in his original plan, phase two was basically sort of just an extension of phase one. And then it was phase three where you would start seeing, like groups of 50 meet or groups of 250 meet. And so I think what's going to be interesting is, are we just getting like gyms reopening, or does he say that churches are allowed to start reopening? I don't think we know.
What do the numbers show you?
Well, the numbers haven't been incredible. I mean, the numbers show that we should have started phase two, whatever he deems that to be, on Saturday. I mean, we started phase one 3 Saturdays ago now, and he said, look, if cases are good for a minimum of 2 weeks, then that's the time to go to phase two. And they've looked great. They've continued to decline. And I should say, I don't expect that to continue. I think at some point we're going to see an uptick as people start, moving about more. And I should say cases as a percentage of total tests have continued to decline. which is really the number you're looking for.
I know, but go ahead.
Oh, the things have been very encouraging. I mean, it's a very encouraging thing.
And we're one of those states where the numbers are actually going down.
Yeah, the percentage of people testing positive. I mean, it went from, in April we were like 13 to 15% of all tests were coming back positive, and over the end of last week, I mean, we were under 5%.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been incredible. It's been great, and I think you've got to reward that or recognize that, and then start relaxing the restrictions.
I know the governor has come in for a lot of criticism. For a, shall we say, to be gentle about it, an uneven performance. What was amazing yesterday is the governor's office, which announced the news conference today at 5:30. They misspelled the first word, which was supposed to be tomorrow, and it came out differently. They couldn't even get the first word of the press release right. Who the hell is running this show?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not gonna knock anyone for spelling errors, because I am probably the world's worst speller. So, I wish a spelling error was the most significant mistake that the governor has made. But unfortunately, it's not been. And I think
but it is emblematic of the incompetence. I mean, when you talk about Dieter and you talk about all the problems that have surrounded this thing, they have made so many mistakes, and some of it is just bad bedside manner on the part of the governor.
Well, and he's certainly been terrible at his press conferences, and there haven't been very many. He doesn't really strike come across as sympathetic, even though I truly think he is, very gruff. And some of it, too, is the timing. I mean, think about this. He announced Friday he was having this press conference on Tuesday, which tells you he basically had, made up his mind about what he's going to do. And he's holding it at 5:30. I mean, we've been shut down for 2 months. Don't you think you could hold it at 9 o'clock and tell, give people the day to prepare for what's going to happen, tomorrow or at the end of the week? I mean, he's doing these things to kind of maximize his time in the limelight instead of giving the people in Nevada, we now have the highest unemployment rate in the country, the most time to prepare and adjust for what's coming.
What do you, assuming that they do reopen the casinos on June 4th, which is what the conventional wisdom is, at least on some basis, will all the jobs be coming back?
No, absolutely not. I mean, that should be obvious. And you look at companies like MGM and Caesars, and obviously they own multiple strip properties, and they're opening up two to start with, and then they'll increase as demand comes back. And I mean, I think the thing that you have to think about too, and the governor said this, and I think it's right, but I think it's undercut his argument for what he's done, is that just because something's open doesn't mean people are coming back. And the corollary to that should be, well, if we can trust people to act intelligently, we don't need to keep them locked down by the government, because they'll, make the risk decision that's best for them. And I think that's what you have to realize, is that, people are going to need a time to get acclimated. They're going to need a time to increase their comfort level. But that time is not going to start until things are reopened. And that's why I really think the governor has cost Nevada a month and really tens of thousands of jobs that I think will be lost permanently because he didn't reopen when he should have.
And probably tens of millions of dollars in the economy. Here is a number that may scare a lot of people. A survey just out today, 48% of Americans say they, quote, don't plan to fly, unquote, for at least a year. And that plays into what you're talking about, that you can open the casinos, but if nobody comes, or nobody flies in here, they're afraid to fly. And apparently right now people are afraid to fly.
Well, they are. And, honestly, I can't blame them. I mean, I think it makes sense, given what we know about how the virus is spread, that being in an enclosed space, however good the air filtration is not where you want to be. And that's what I think is. I think people are, now that they have information, they're able to make the best risk assessment. Look, if you're 25, you should not be worried about getting on an airplane. obviously, is there a risk? Of course there's a risk, because in everything there is a risk, but it is not a large risk. But if you are 85 and in a nursing home, you should be very, very careful. If you work in a meatpacking facility, you should be very, very careful. I mean, we know a lot more about the virus now than we did 2 months ago, and so many people are acting like the risk is equal. The risk is not equal. If you are older, it is a serious risk. If you are younger, it is not that dramatic of a risk, not at all. And I think, you know, the message that's got to be coming from the media and from government officials has got to start reflecting some of the increased knowledge that we have, instead of just acting like, oh, it's horrible for everyone. I mean, obviously, getting the disease is bad, but the risk is dramatically different depending on people's, you know, age and other characteristics.
The survey just out from a group called Finance Buzz, a survey of 1,500 Americans, 48% said they don't expect to fly for at least a year, with 23% saying there's nothing the airlines can do to make them feel comfortable. So the airline industry has some work to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, when things are reopened, when the people who are comfortable flying fly, and everyone sees that, oh, they're not getting sick, I think you're going to see those opinions start to change. I mean, you can see, you know, the blue states that said a month ago, we're not opening till there's a vaccine, we're not opening for a year. Georgia opens 2 or 3 weeks later, its case numbers are going down, and all of a sudden the blue state governors are like, oh, hey, you know, I think within the next month we might be opening things back up. So I think as people get confident, you know, about what their individual risk level is overall and from different activities, that's when I think you're going to start people flying. I think you're going to start seeing more people come back to Vegas, assuming they have the disposable income. Because when someone else goes out and does it, and everyone's like, oh, that wasn't so bad, then I think that's what gives people the confidence to go out and do it themselves.
More with Victor Jakes coming up in just a minute. I'm going to ask him about his column where he says that, you know, all these governors that saying the data and the science will guide me on the next move, that they were all bamboozled, and that the science has essentially failed us in so many ways. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up live and local now. In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a health care program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycry and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
By the way, the Charlotte, North Carolina Education Lottery 200, the truck race, is going to be contested this afternoon, 4:30 for the airtime on the Nevada Talk Network stations. So, and by the way, sometime after 4:30, in fact, around 5:30, the governor will speak at 5:30, and of course, the Nevada Talk Network stations will drop into coverage of the truck race to bring you the governor. So that's this afternoon. 5:30 for the governor, 4:30 for the truck race. Victor Jakes joining us, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I loved your column where you questioned the science. I was going through headlines earlier this morning, and the latest to do this is the governor of North Carolina saying the data and the science will guide us on when we can reopen, totally reopen North Carolina. Talking about the convention and all of that stuff. Explain what you meant by that the science has kind of failed us a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is that science can't determine when to reopen. And as you said, so many politicians are basically trying to make it sound like they're not the ones making the decision. Oh, it's the science or the scientists. And there's three problems with that. The first is that a lot of the science has been wrong. If you'll think back just a few months ago, the WHO, the World Health Organization, was telling us that there was no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission of the coronavirus. The WHO condemned travel bans as a way to spread the virus. I don't know if you remember the Surgeon General getting out there and saying, you know, don't wear a mask, it doesn't do you any good. And all of those things were wrong, even though that was the science at the time. And then the next problem is that, you know, with a new virus like this, the scientists frequently disagree. If you remember all the modeling that was going back and forth about the 2.2 million deaths, the model out of the University of Washington that's been changed like 15 times, you know, there were scientists from Stanford University saying this thing is a lot more widespread than it seems to be. So the scientists don't even disagree. And so what politicians are really doing when they're saying, oh, we're just going to let the science decide, is they're saying, don't hold me accountable. You know, it's not my fault. It's someone else is making the value judgment. And that's the problem, is that we elect politicians to make value judgments, to weigh a multitude of factors and figure out the way forward. You know, science at its best provides information, but it can't tell you what decision to make.
So what should we believe? I mean, we're being told we're going to have a second spike, a second wave. We got projections that are all over the map. So who should we believe?
Well, you know, if I knew that question, I would know everything about this. I mean, I don't think it's clear, what exactly the settled science is because it's so new. And so I think it makes sense to, there are some things that do seem to be pretty clear in terms of, younger people are not at as big of a risk. The school should definitely reopen as a result of that. If you're in a nursing home, if you work in a meatpacking plant, if you ride the subway, right, like those are high risk activities. But I think aside from those things that we really know, what we really have to do is start trusting people to process the information and to gauge what they are comfortable with and kind of reopen that way.
Now you've got all the pictures. I'm sure you've seen them by now of the party going on at a pool area in the Lake of the Ozarks, my old stomping ground back in Missouri. And one of the things you're seeing is people partying, not social distancing. Is it going to matter? I mean, are we going to see some huge? I mean, we've got St. Louis County doing a travel advisory for those that have been in the Ozarks in the last few days. Is that
well? What's so funny is, I mean, if you remember 2 months ago, the spring breakers in Florida, right? Like that was what was going to seed the outbreak, and that was the crisis, and all the scientists were saying, "Oh my word, all the spring break partiers." And then it turned out that, Andrew Cuomo was sending people with COVID back into the nursing homes. And that was much more deadly. And so I think, look, if young people have looked at the science and realized I'm not at very much risk for this, even if I get it, at some point you have to let people take risk with their lives because everything we do is a risk. Leaving the house is a risk. And you've got to determine what your comfort level is, what steps you can take to mitigate it. But at some point, people have to live their lives. And so, I'm not worried about 20-year-olds, getting in a pool together. Just from what happened in Florida at spring break, it's just not that big of a deal compared to some of the high-risk activities that we know about. But politicians seem, much more focused on things like people in the pools than people at the nursing homes.
Well, and really, it just came to me that there are all these things that we do already. Look at the number of people you know of that smoke, and they know how dangerous that is, and yet they do it. And many of them develop lung cancer and emphysema. My mom, God rest her soul, she's been gone 17 years 2 days ago, and she died of emphysema and stage 3 lung cancer. So. Go figure. Hey, listen, Victor, you have a great week. We'll find out together what the governor has to say. We'll do that.
The great mystery.
I know. And just remember, the devil's in the details. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.
Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are rallying on signs of economies reopening and the potential development of a coronavirus vaccine. The S&P 500 rising 2%, climbing back above 3,000 for the first time since early March. And airline stocks are taking off today as the number of travelers passing through TSA airport checkpoints hit the highest level since March 22nd. And Spain said it will be opening its borders to tourists beginning on July the 1st. And just in time for summer, Six Flags, the world's largest regional regional theme park company and the largest operator of water parks in North America, announcing that Frontier City in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, will be reopening with limited capacity beginning on June the 5th. The park will begin operating reduced attendance levels and initially operate in a preview mode from June the 5th through the 7th for members and seasonal pass holders only. After a brief initial reopening phase, the park will gradually increase attendance levels. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm Chris Foster. President Trump on Twitter is again attacking any plans to expand voting by mail during the coronavirus outbreak. Fox's John Decker at the White House.
President writing, there is no way, zero, that mail-in ballots will be anything less than substantially fraudulent. Mailboxes will be robbed, ballots will be forged and even illegally printed out and fraudulently signed.
Several states and service members overseas vote mostly or exclusively by mail with no evidence of fraud or an advantage for either party. The FBI and state investigators in Minnesota are looking into the death of a man in police custody seen on video pleading for several minutes with the officer kneeling on his neck that he couldn't breathe. Mayor Jacob Frey.
If you're sad, I get it. If you're angry, that makes complete sense.
The officer is white. The suspect was black. A police spokesman says he was resisting arrest, suspected of forgery at a business. America's listening to Fox News.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America Together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
Abby Hornacek takes off on a new adventure.
Challenge accepted.
Learning what it takes to become a fighter pilot. Join Abby as she trains, fights, and flies.
Passed out three times. I threw up twice. A lot of respect for these guys and gals.
Plus, go behind the scenes of the iconic fighter pilot classic.
We have the unique opportunity to go inside the real Top Gun story.
You'll want to land on Fox Nation for this one. Becoming Top Gun. Available now, only on Fox Nation. For a limited time, with the purchase of a one-year plan, receive a free signed copy of
people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100 plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100 plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
You just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
We'll be right back.
Don't forget this hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you by our friends at Las Vegas Cyclery, featuring kids' bikes, affordable hybrids, mountain bikes. Oh, and by the way, did I mention their showroom is now open? The Las Vegas Cyclery folks, they have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes. For those of you who want to ride again, but you have some physical limitations, these electric bikes are just phenomenal. Check them out at LasVegasCyclery.com. That's LasVegasCyclery.com. Joining us, as he does every Tuesday, my friend Scott Hammond, state senator, and he joins us from District 18. Scott, first of all, thanks for joining us. I know that you were very active over the Memorial Day weekend. Can you talk a little bit about some of the stuff you and your family did?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, good morning, Kevin, and welcome to all your listeners. Thanks a lot for listening in. This has been a great weekend, actually. It's a time to reflect on those who have given, in many cases, the ultimate sacrifice. So, you know, I was out there with Councilwoman Victoria Seaman, and as well as many other electeds. I think Assemblywoman Hardy was out there. I saw Senator Hardy out there as well, and many, many other people. They had so many volunteers. They had many volunteers show up even before the time period. But we went out to Boulder City to the Veterans Memorial Cemetery, and we planted flags at the grave sites, as they have been doing for so many years. A great organization doing that normally every year. They had to take a little bit of a break because they were kind of concerned with the demographics of their group and the susceptibility to the virus. So we went out there and filled in for them this year. But it was a great experience. I had my kids out there, and I think it's important for them to really see how we take care of and value those who have served the military and have sustained us over the years and have given us the freedoms that we have. So it was just an amazing time out there in Boulder City.
And you know what? It's a great tradition to pass down generation to generation. I'm glad you did that with your family.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had a neighbor who, when we moved into our home, they moved into theirs about the same time. He was a Vietnam vet. He passed away, and his wife passed away about 7 years ago, and they're both out there. So my kids get a chance to go out there and see Margaret. They really enjoyed her company for many years. She was a great neighbor, and for them to be able to plant the flags, be around other folks that, just getting out, I'll tell you, just getting out and being around other folks, even if it was social distancing, be able to see other people and socialize. That's a big part of who we are as humans. So it was just a great event and a great weekend.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, District 18. The governor is going to speak at 5:30 this afternoon. The word is that he is going to at least move us into Phase 2. We don't know exactly what Phase 2 is going to look like. The devil's in the details. As a state senator and one of the highest-ranking Republicans in the legislature, have you been briefed on this, and can you give us some sense of what you expect from the governor this afternoon?
So, we haven't been briefed on it. We're assuming that based on a couple of things that have been said and leaked out. We're hoping that, well, first of all, I'm hoping that churches are included in this, and I don't see why they shouldn't be. At this point, really, I think that if a business, church, or any other entity can prove that they can open up safely, put all the PPE in that they need and all the social distancing practices into practice, I think that this is, we've got to be able to open them up, because last week, I know that he's been in the news. I know there's controversy, whatever, but I know that there's a gym. It was a CrossFit gym out there in my area, in District 18. I went out there and visited. They showed everything that they're going to be doing in order to open up the social distancing, the number of times they'll be cleaning. And look, for me, if I go to a gym under normal circumstances, and I see that they're cleaning up all their stations, that people are very vigilant about spraying everything down, to me, I feel safer about that. I'm going to frequent that gym more often than I'm going to go to a gym that does not and the equipment isn't taken care of. So I think that if you can show that, and that's exactly what that gym was showing me, all the things they're going to do, well, it is time that we get into these places. We've got to open this up. And if everybody is safe and doing the things that continue to make their clients safe, then they should be reopened, period. There's no reason to continue to harm businesses unnecessarily. There's no reason to keep people from worship unnecessarily. Let's open up safely, smartly, and let's get folks back to work, back to prayer, back to the routines they lean on in their lives. That's how I feel, and I hope that's what he's announcing today.
I know that you have gotten a lot of credit for these teletown halls that you do every Monday. And can you tell me a little bit about with the holiday and all of that, when's your next teletown hall?
Thanks, Kevin. I'm very happy. I'm happy with the Teletown Halls that we've been doing, and the information that you can always, if you're curious, go to my website and find there. We are doing one tonight because last night was a holiday. Again, we're going to put that out there for everybody to know. You can visit tan4nevada.com/COVID-19, and we'll have the details on there. There's a team of people that consistently and constantly update that website and making sure that the folks who use it have the most up-to-date information available to them. It's something I'm really proud of. We do a Teletown Hall. Like I said, it's normally on Mondays, but we're going to do it tonight. Tonight we should have somebody. We're hoping to get somebody on there from the Gaming Control Board. And we'll also have J.J. Goycalchea, who's part of the LEAP committee, that LEAP committee that the governor put together a couple weeks ago the local folks. There's four people on that LEAP committee. J.J. Goycalchea is a county commissioner in Eureka. He, along with Marilyn Kirkpatrick and two others, are on that LEAP committee, and they're giving all the information to the governor for the governor to make decisions on. But they're basically out there trying to open up Nevada. And so it'll be good to have him on the program tonight, and I'm sure your listeners know that the governor will be addressing us at 5:30 today, that's this evening, about phase two. So I think a lot of people will be eager and interested in knowing what JJ has put together what he gave to the governor for him to consider as we go back. And again, I hope that we go back and see that we're going to be opening up more things. Well, there's also the announcement that some of the casinos will be opening up around June 4th as well. So there's going to be a lot of excitement. J.J. Goycalchea, and like I said, we're going to try and get somebody else from the Gaming Control Board on the call with us. That'll be great because they'll be, they'll have some insight as to what they're requiring at the casinos for them to be able to open up.
Hey, Scott, let me just throw it right at you. Are you convinced that what you've seen now from the numbers, the hospitalizations, the new cases, et cetera, the fact that we have flattened out amazingly, and in fact, our numbers are going down, not up. Are you convinced that we are now capable of moving fully into phase two and maybe even elements of phase three, whatever that is?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, I think the numbers have been showing us for more than a couple of weeks. I think that we're a little late to the game. I think that we should have been open up a few weeks ago, if not 3 weeks ago, into certain elements of even phase three, to be honest with you. We have to rely on people being smart enough to open up their facilities, their businesses, their places of worship, and make sure they're doing it smartly, making sure that they're putting all those elements together. But I think that we should have been doing this a while ago. As a matter of fact, I really feel like we've hurt the economy probably more so than we should have, and getting people back to work really just for the safety of not only for the benefit of the businesses, but for the safety of people. Like I said, this past weekend, being able to go out there to the cemetery and being around other folks, that was important. We are, as a society, we love we're humans after all, and we love that human contact. We like to be around other folks, to feed off of their enthusiasm. And I think that we lack that. And I think we need to see a lot more of that. What we're seeing is, when people are cooped up in their homes and safely put away, that we've seen a rise in a lot of things that we don't want to see a rise in. Child abuse, spousal abuse. We've seen a lot of people, struggling with this. And so I'm really anxious to get everybody back out there and, working and getting back to normal lives.
Scott, I've got to ask you, I've seen the LVCVA ads, when we're ready to open, you'll be the first to know. And, it's going to be a new Las Vegas, a more personal Las Vegas, which means less people there. I want to ask you, because there's a new poll that's just out this weekend, 48% of Americans say they, quote, don't plan to fly, unquote, for at least a year. And 20-plus percent say that there's nothing the airlines can do to make me change my mind. We can open up the casinos, but if nobody comes here, what do we do then?
Well, that's a great question we're going to have to answer. But, I know how people feel, and I think it's very – I think this phenomenon happens a lot. But as time goes on and as people feel more relaxed, I think that attitude changes. I don't think that attitude is written in stone right now. I know a lot of people say that they don't want to fly, but eventually, as they feel more comfortable with where we're at, perhaps even getting closer and closer to a vaccine or getting closer and closer to understanding how this particular virus works. I mean, just recently we found out that it does not stay on surfaces as long as we originally thought. So things are changing all the time. And I think that the, you know, the attitudes will change as well. And as we start seeing people be more relaxed, going outside of their homes, going into businesses, going, you know, in their normal routine of going to the gym or places of worship, I think they're going to feel that relaxed feeling as they go further away from their homes. And then if that happens, then of course, airline traffic will be the last thing to happen, but it'll happen. I'm not sure it'll take a whole year to get back. And certainly we've changed some of our habits. I know that a lot of people are looking at doing a lot more businesses over the, you know, over the computer than they used to, and perhaps we won't see as much business travel, but eventually we'll get to that point where we're comfortable. I'm not sure it'll take a whole year, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people who will be offering a lot of deals. But, you know, the airline companies aren't going to sit down and say, hey, well, we'll just wait a year. I think they're going to go out there and be very proactive about getting their customers back in. So I think we're going to be looking at some deals on the air, over the air. So hopefully that happens.
Okay, I want to talk about some politics, some policy. The governor wants to raid the rainy day trust fund, the rainy day fund, and in fact may want to just empty it out in order to make up for the budget shortfall. Can you talk a little bit in depth about how short we are right now projected, and isn't that what the rainy day fund is for? Times like this.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of people need to know about this. We put a lot of money in the rainy day fund recently. I mean, we went through a great recession, but I tell you what, under the leadership of Governor Sandoval, we not only paid back the unemployment insurance that we owed to the federal government during that time. We did it early. We did it earlier than we were supposed to. Not only did we, get the economy back up and running, but we had money that we were putting in the rainy day fund. Things were really going well. And we put that money in the rainy day fund for a reason, right? Just like you and I, we save and we budget and we make sure we have money in our account so that when something happens unexpectedly, we're prepared and we can go on. Well, we had $400 million, just north, I think, of $400 million in that rainy day fund. And the governor had asked, he called for a state of emergency, a financial, fiscal emergency, followed up by the Interim Finance Committee. They also announced that state of a fiscal emergency that allowed them to then go in and open up the rainy day fund so they can spend. But he was advised, and I believe he was advised not only by some Republican folks on the IFC committee, but he was also, I think, advised by the treasurer, that you really don't want to take all of it out at one time because then that hurts the credit rating of the state. Well, they did. This happened last week, actually. So some of your listeners out there, so they know it already happened. He asked for and was given the whole $400 million so that he could fill in this year's budget deficit, which I believe is projected to about $700 million. And so he took out that $400 million, and then he'll find some other monies here and there, sweep it back into the general fund and fill those holes in so that we are whole for this year. That, you know, immediately did hurt our credit rating. There was already a hit to our credit rating because he could have just taken $200 million this year and then waited and then taken a little bit more out next year to fill in the hole, but he didn't. But not only that, I mean, if you look at the last three meetings of the IFC, you had many of the
And by the way, Scott, the IFC, just in plain English, so everybody, it's the Interim Finance Committee, is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. The Interim Finance Committee. Yeah, that's that.
Just want to make sure everybody knows who we're talking about. IFC this and IFC that.
Yeah, and I apologize because I'm not one who likes acronyms either. And so I apologize to those listeners out there. Yeah, the Interim Finance Committee is just made up of some of the legislators, both in the Senate and the Assembly, and their job is to allocate monies that come in from the federal government during the time that we're not in session. And so these guys are out there, and they're allocating money to certain other programs that we have out there. From time to time, they're asked by by folks out there, hey, we need more money here, more money there, and they allocate that. We have seen over the last three IFC meetings, which I think have happened in the last month and a half, that again, time and time again, a lot of the Democrats on that committee have looked at programs that they passed in 2019 and made sure that the Interim Finance Committee is funding them, which again, some of those programs I voted for in 2019, now is not the time to fund them. Now is not the time to say, yeah, let's go ahead and fund this, because we know we're going to be short. Why are we funding new programs when we know we're going to be short on things that we already have? And time again, I'm more and more concerned that we're losing focus on, you know, what this pandemic is doing, not only to our state, but it's specifically to our budget. And time again, they keep looking at funding these programs. And I'm like, at some point, we're going to have to get more serious about what we need to do to make sure that the budget is balanced. And that's not what's happening right now. And I wish we would turn our focus to that. So if he's going to take the $400 million out, he better make sure that he's doing it wisely and that we're spending it on things that are necessary, because it won't be too long before he's going to have to lay off a whole lot of people because we're not doing it correctly.
And by the way, after the $400 million hit from the rainy day fund, do we have a guesstimate yet of what the new shortfall is?
Well, again, we're talking about two different years, right? So we have this budget shortfall, and I think we're about $700 million. So we'd still be, and it depends on how much money we're saving. And I don't have access to these numbers, but there's a lot of talk about how much we might be saving in Medicaid reimbursements, because a lot of people, quite frankly, were so scared away from going to any hospitals that many people didn't use any Medicaid during the last couple months. And so there's money there. They'll sweep money from other areas to try and fill that hole. But when we're talking about next year's budget, we might be talking about $1 billion to $1.3 billion. And so something drastic has to happen. And wow. I know that we could be using some of that money that came from the federal government. As a matter of fact, I think we in the state had about $812 million that came in that we could be using for any kind of revenue shortages. And I don't think that the governor is using that so far. So I'm hoping that is an answer as well. So there's a lot of things we could be doing. I think at some point, though, we need to have a special session so that we can all, legislators, both in the Senate, Assembly, Republicans, Democrats, get together and find out what's best for our state, because that's the most important thing, is that we, regardless of political party, figure out what's best, what policies will be best for our state going forward. I would hate to see us go flat broke.
Again, State Senator Scott Hammond joining us in our final minute. I got to ask you, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, and the state GOP, the state Republican Party, is suing relative to this whole mail-in ballot thing and harvesting and open meeting laws. In a minute, can you give me the condensed version of what this thing's all about? And do the Republicans have a legitimate shot at this legally?
Oh, I think so. Well, first of all, let's address. I'll go back and kind of tell people. I know that people look at that Trump tweet and say, "Well, we've been mailing in ballots for a long time." I don't think that he was necessarily talking about the mail-in ballots. I think he was talking about what the Democrats were asking for as a result of doing the mail-in, and what they were asking for is, instead of just sending out ballots to active voters, they really wanted to send it out to everybody, active and inactive. Well, there's a reason why they're inactive. A lot of people may have moved out of the state, may have passed on from this life to the next. There's a lot of reasons why they're inactive. And so to send out all those ballots to people, everybody, that opens up a lot of concern. It should, because there are boxes full of ballots sitting next to boxes at apartment complexes, for instance, when somebody goes, hey, this person hasn't lived here for a long time. If they're doing the right thing, they put it in that box or they send it back and they make sure that it gets put in the right place, but not always does that happen. And so, yeah, they have a legitimate concern. Who's picking up these ballots? Are they harvesting the ballots? I look at what State Secretary of State Barbara Sugarski did. I know a lot of people are blaming her. All she said was, at the time when she made that decision, we don't know how bad this virus is going to get. We do want to make sure that everybody has a chance to exercise their right to vote. We're going to do a mail-in ballot. Okay, but the choice to make sure that every voter, active or inactive, gets that ballot, that was made by our Clark County Elections Department. That's Joe Gloria. That was his decision, and a very poor one at that, I think. Yeah. Because again, and what the Republicans are pointing to is that it creates an atmosphere, a condition for fraud, and that there's no denying that. Yeah. It does create that, and so I think that they have a lot of legitimate complaints there.
Hey Scott,
RNC. Can I say one last thing?
Yeah, very quickly.
I hope that the RNC puts out a letter. I hope that here in Clark County and throughout the state, I think that Republicans need to send a letter and say, look, if they're not going to have if North Carolina doesn't want to do a convention there,
bring it here.
We're more than happy to convention here. Yeah, bring it here.
I love it. I love it. Hey, Scott, it's always good. Thank you so much. I'm flat out of time, but I appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man. Scott Hammond joining us live and local now.
Hey, Nevada. This is Ted Nugent. That's right. Ted Nugent full time. I'm calling on behalf of Republican candidate for Congress, Sam Peters, who I have proudly endorsed. Sam is a retired Air Force officer, a Bronze Star earning warfighter, and one hell of an American. Like me, he supports God, family, country, President Trump, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and Build That Wall. In fact, leaders at the NRA, we just gave Sam a perfect rating. As a business owner, Sam knows how to get Nevada back to work and our country rocking and rolling again. Join Ted Nugent, the Nugent family. Endorse Sam Peters for Nevada with your vote. Learn more about Sam at sampetersforcongress.com. That's Sam Peters, the number 4, congress.com.
I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. I approve this message.
This is paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters for Congress. God bless America.
Let's face it, these are challenging times. Hey, Kevin Wall here for SRT Special Services. Since 2014, SRT Special Services has provided Southern Nevada businesses with executive protection, safe rooms, residential security, and more. Now, in the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. Ask the pros at SRT Special Services about the Liberty AI with facial recognition and thermal scanning. The Liberty AI can let you know if the next customer through your front door is running a temperature, protecting your employees, your customers, and your corporate liability. Facial recognition and temperature scanning technology has been out there for years. Now, the security pros at SRT Special Services can offer the Liberty AI at a price that even small mom-and-pop businesses can afford. If your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI from SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That's 702-221-1942. Call today.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
Hi, I'm Sawyer Silberkraus. My dad, Stephen Silberkraus, is running for University Regent. He wants to make sure that every kid like me can get a good education. Please vote for my dad, Stephen Silberkraus, for University Regent. He'll do a good job for you. Paid for by friends for Stephen Silberkraus. I love you, Dad.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. 790. Stick around. More to do as we continue live and local now.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can, too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
ABET, Winchester, Las Vegas, 790. Talk now. Talk that rocks.